Now, what you're about to discover is that there are precise times in a human's life when certain physical attributes should be in place. In fact, you should come away with the understanding that timing is everything if you want to help develop a coordinated, quick, agile, and confident young athlete. Now, as you get to know me, you'll discover that I'm very much into the sciences of training. At the same time, appreciate that after nearly 40 years of teaching and analyzing hockey skills, I've come to trust the things I've seen with these old eyes. Anyway, I've known in my gut for years that it's important to introduce certain kinds of skills in certain kinds of ways, at certain times in a player's life. And only recently was I able to find some other very credible sources to help me put this matter into perspective. To begin, in a study in the Journal of Human Kinetics, researchers Peter Hertz and W. Starosta offered both sides to the argument. For, after suggesting that the optimal age for motor learning is difficult to define, they ultimately note that the periods before puberty are, nevertheless, to be used particularly intensively for appropriate stimuli, especially with regard to coordination and speed, because it makes sense to influence the maturing functions. It has been also proved that coordination abilities can be trained particularly well at this age, meaning before puberty. A little later, and this is what I really want to convey, Hertz and Starosta note that coaches of young athletes in highly technical sport disciplines know that the most important skills have to be acquired and refined before puberty starts. Just scratching the surface so far, I happened upon a piece by Ray Piker, a children's movement specialist. For, in kids as competent movers, she says, like other skills acquired in the early years, movement skills need to be taught and practiced if they're to be mastered. Although it seems motor skills miraculously appear and develop on their own, the fact is, children who don't receive instruction and practice in this area will develop only marginal as opposed to maximal ability to use their bodies. Piker goes on to say that it only makes sense. Just as children acquire a vocabulary of words to use throughout life, they likewise need to acquire and develop a movement vocabulary consisting of fundamental skills they can use for current and future physical activity. And just as we should never expect a child's language development mature without help from us, and without practice, we can't expect movement skills to fully mature without assistance. Further, she adds, then there's the theory of critical periods, or windows of opportunity. Although their existence has been suspected for some time, critical periods have been receiving more scientific support of late. The theory contends that nature provides certain times when the child's experience can have the greatest impact on various aspects of her development. These windows of opportunity begin opening before birth, but shrink as the child gets older, For most basic motor skills, the critical period, the time during which experience can have the most influence, seems to extend from the prenatal stage to about 5. Now, I hope you've made note of that, in that the window of opportunity for most basic motor skills seems to extend from prenatal to almost the age of 5. So, while I observe lots of volunteer coaches and parents not taking the earliest years very seriously, it seems to me that those might be some of the most critical years of all. Then Piker goes on to suggest that not taking advantage of that critical period doesn't necessarily damage a youngster for life, but, she says, it can mean that without enough appropriate movement experience from birth to 5, the child will miss out on the opportunity to achieve the best possible motor skill development. And she says, the experts feel that, for certain skills, there is definitely a too late. In other words, the brain's motor neurons must be trained between the ages of 2 and 11, or they won't be plastic enough to be rewired later in life. As an interesting aside here, of all the young kids I've had who later went on to the NHL, most were second sons. And while there are other theories on this unique phenomenon, I'm going to suggest that my second sons gained immensely from watching and emulating their older brothers at play and in sport. Just as we parents bob and weave in the stands while our own children compete in a game, I'm suggesting that the second son is processing much of what he's seeing and thusly training those motor neurons during very critical times. Also, because there probably tend to be more balls rolling around the home of a second son, I'll propose that he's also making early gains in the area of spatial awareness and tracking. Then, here's a short one on agility, whereby Jason D. Vescovi says, learning to become agile requires the development of appropriate movement patterns. Children begin to develop locomotor skills at an early age, as can be observed when a playful child attempts to elude a parent chasing them around the yard. Then, zeroing in on yet another critical period, Vescovi states, implementing strategies to teach appropriate motor skills can be initiated around 5 years of age, with critical periods of development occurring between 9 and 12 years of age. On the How Children Learn Motor Skills website, there's an important section entitled Building Skills During Key Developmental Windows. And while little of this should now sound surprising to you, it states that just as the brain is ready for certain types of academic material at certain stages, so is the mind and body ready to learn certain kinds of motor skills and make different types of physical adaptations at certain ages. To achieve full potential, new skills training must be consistently introduced when the child is physically ready to learn them. Introducing new skills too early will lead to failure and can be discouraging. More on this a little later. However, missing the opportunity to introduce a skill for which a child is ready can delay or prevent them from ultimately achieving their potential. The article goes on to say that children need to build a strong foundation of fundamental skills in order to be able to learn and perform more complex sports skills as they mature. Failure to capitalize on the time-sensitive movement skill period of learning in childhood makes it difficult to subsequently attain higher skill levels later. As another aside here, that last statement just caused me to think about some of the truly great athletes I've seen in my time. Think about your own favorites, the highly skilled ones, I mean, and then consider the possibility that their unique talents may have actually started in the earliest years, and they were just enhanced and polished over subsequent years of intensive training. Next, this one comes from the Bemidji, Minnesota Physical Education website in reference to the refinement of basic motor skills. And it states that the preschool and elementary years are a critical period of peak motor learning. While children mature at different rates, given ample appropriate practice at home and at school, these key motor patterns will move through a predictable series of stages from immature to nearly mature during the elementary years. Basic motor skills and their combinations form the movement vocabulary used for a lifetime of action in sport, recreation, fitness, and work. Finally, while Takeo Hench's website isn't really geared toward learning or athletics, the Harvard University professor notes that much of our adult behavior reflects the neural circuits sculpted by experience in infancy and early childhood. At no other time in life does the surrounding environment so potentially shape brain function, from basic motor skills, sensation, or sleep, to higher cognitive processes like language. Well, that concludes the research portion of this program. When you're ready, you can go on to part 2 about the practical application.